Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Community Bank, we're here for every part of your financial journey. From personal banking to growing your business or buying a home, our expert guidance makes it simple. We're more than a bank. We're your partner for life's biggest moments. Community Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your radio happy hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Now, don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. So we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app and your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us, too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. And a Mississippi-based military historian, author, and professor, Dr. Andrew Wiest, from the greatest university in the state to the top, has received one of the most distinguished national awards honoring contributions to the military history. And he's joining us today to celebrate that, but then maybe talk a little bit more. So welcome, Dr. Wiest.
Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. And I can say that because my daddy always joked that his name should be on one of the halls there at Southern Miss, as I earned both of my degrees from the great university. So Southern Miss to the top, all the way for me, at least here on Good Things. Well, first off, congratulations. This is a pretty big honor, and so much accolade should be awarded. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And to the top, indeed.
Okay, let's talk about the fact that you're a recipient of the Society of Military History Samuel Elliott Morrison Prize. That's a big name. I hope it was a big plaque for them to be able to put that on that you received. But give us a little context, kind of what does this award mean or this recognition mean kind of in your area?
Sure. It's a nice big plaque, so I was appreciative of that. I mean, even more appreciative of the fact that it was my colleagues around the world who chose me for this. The Society for Military History is the chief organization that deals with the topic of the study of war, and the membership comes from all over the world. Folks from the top institutions, ranging from our military academy to the British one to you name it. And the award itself is for a lifetime of scholarly achievement. So it kind of is the holy grail of my field. And so I was, very, very pleased to be awarded that.
You didn't turn in your resignation the next day, say, I finally made it to the top.
I did not. It's a little bothersome that it's a lifetime achievement award. Hope that doesn't mean my lifetime's over. But heck, maybe I'll be the first person to win two of them. Maybe there's more to go.
Hey, I like that. I like that. Let's talk about your interest and love of history. Obviously, you have dedicated a lifetime worth of your professional career to studying and teaching history. But Dr. Wiest, where did you ignite that inspiration, or I guess that interest in learning or studying history?
Well, I mean, it started very naturally. I went to the public schools here in Hattiesburg and had some really, golly, just some very inspirational teachers. I was a pretty distracted young high school student. I was much more interested in, sports and girls and things like that. But there were teachers that saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And then I was lucky enough to come to Southern Miss for my undergraduate and master's degrees, and just ran into some stellar teachers here as well. If you know Southern Miss well, you may remember names like Bill Scarborough and Neil McMillan and people like that, who were just wonderful scholars. And then finally, even though I came from a rather poor family here in Hattiesburg, when I was a junior, I got a chance to study abroad with the Southern Miss program, and that really turned on light bulbs that I didn't even know I owned.
Where did you go, Dr. Wiest?
Great
where was your abroad experience?
We studied abroad on the British Studies program. In fact, we were celebrating our 50th year because I now teach on that program. And the it's my goal. I mean, that is the program that changed me from a distracted student to one who knew what I wanted to do. And it's my goal to continue to provide that opportunity for Southern Miss students. And we get to see them do that every year. It's just so wonderful.
What was it about the trip or the opportunity when you went? Was it just seeing somewhere different than the United States or seeing buildings that were, you know, older, way older than the United States was even, you know, has even been existed, even though 250 years is a long time. It's not 2,000 years. Kind of what was it for you?
It was a couple things. When I was growing up, the big kind of television series that got me into World War II, especially when I first started, was a documentary series called The World at War. So I was just, you know, enthralled by that, and I got to go to World War II battlefields while I was over there, which was to stand there on Omaha Beach, you know, in the footsteps of the brave Americans who overcame a living hell on that day. That it's just a different way to learn things. And we also got a chance to go to the archives over there. And the first document I pulled up in the archives was signed by a guy named Winston Churchill. And that kind of made me feel pretty good about life. So it was just kind of everything involved in being over there.
So prior to that experience, Dr. Weiss, going studying abroad as a student there at Southern Miss, were you on the path for a history degree, or is that when you come back and you kind of like change everything in terms of what you were studying at USM?
Pretty much at that point when I changed everything. I went to college hoping to be a different kind of a doctor, the kind of doctor that can write prescriptions and stuff. And then I quickly realized I had to take more math courses than I would ever conceivably pass. And it was that same summer when I was kind of, you know, coming to terms with my own, you know, mathematical limitations that I went on that trip. And, you know, I'd always been interested in history, but figured it was something I couldn't do. And that trip kind of made me think maybe I can.
You know, that's funny. For me, it was business law. I started out as a business major there at Southern Miss, Dr. Weiss, and I took 2 days of business law and saw the syllabus and said, this isn't for me, and went and saw and, you know, changed my major and took a completely different path. But I think that's important for, you know, parents or caregivers or even students who may be listening to good things to hear is that, you know, you may go into college thinking one thing and it can be one experience that completely changes, you know, the trajectory of your life as well as, you know, your education. You now get to do that for students at USM. Do you prepare them for that headed in? Like this could be a life-changing experience, or do you kind of just let the abroad experience do it, speak for itself?
I mean, you can't prepare for a life-changing experience. So, you know, whether it's the freshman course I teach here when, you know, students fresh out of high school or learning their first collegiate history or upper-level courses here when we're teaching history majors or this study abroad, you just have to be good enough at what you do to have, when that moment hits, to be there for that moment. You can't plan it. You can't, you know, you can be ready for it, but you can't script it. So who knows when that student is gonna find their moment. You just need to be there for them when they do.
You also do, I know, the British Studies program now at USM, but you also lead, is there another study abroad program in Vietnam or Vietnam, whatever the technical way to say it is?
Right. We used to do that. To be frank, it's just, that's a very different kettle of fish. It's much further. The students, I mean, the whole bunch of students grow up thinking, I want to go to Europe. Very few grow up thinking, I want to go to Vietnam. And it just became much more difficult for us. But when we started that program, it was to take Vietnam veterans back to the battlefields on which they fought and have them teach our students about that battle where it happened. And we wound up doing that about 8 times, and it was really transformative. It was one of the more, I mean, meaningful experiences I've ever had in my life to take veterans back to their battlefields, and in this case, introduce them to the men they fought against. In that case, at that time, it was about 35 years ago. So it was, that was something you can't replicate.
No, I can imagine where that would definitely be a life-changing experience for all involved with that. I can also see why that would be a little bit more, I guess, cumbersome is the word that comes to mind. I'm trying to put that those sort of travels together. How many students do y'all take still abroad each year, Dr. Wiest?
The Southern Miss has programs all over the place, so we probably don't want to get this number too far wrong, but we probably take in the neighborhood of 300 or so abroad. The program I deal with usually takes about 60 abroad, usually about 19 or 20 of whom are in my own class. Because what we don't want to do is have the classes there get too big. You know, going abroad is not cheap. Growing abroad, maybe your one chance to do it. So we want to make sure that every student who goes gets really individualized attention from a teacher.
Dr. Wiest, can you hang with us through the break?
I sure can.
All right. We've got more with Dr. Wiest at USM coming up next.
See the love in my mama's eyes. Feel the touch of a precious child. And know a mother's love gets a little chicken fried. And cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio of a lot to see the sunrise. See the love in my woman's eyes. Feel the touch of my precious child. And know a mother's love.
For all your glass.
Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. It's free. We hope you have downloaded that. It's also free to find us on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. We are continuing our conversation with Professor Dr. Andrew Wiest. He is a professor at USM of History, and he's this year's recipient of the Society of Military History's Samuel Eliot Morrison Prize, and it recognizes a scholar's body of contributions in the field of military history, extending over time and reflecting on a spectrum of scholarly activity, contributing significantly to the field. And that is a quote. I did not come up with that, Dr. Wiest. But it is a long quote, and it should be stated because, like you said, it's a Lifetime Achievement Award, and clearly you've devoted your life to this profession of history and teaching it and also writing about it. So within that, you're also a published author, a bestseller. Tell us about your books. Which one came first and kind of what inspired you to take your learnings to the page?
Well, what inspires you to take your learnings to the page is that, I mean, the job we inhabit at a university like this, it's a Research One institution, is that it's publish or perish. You've got a publisher, you're out the door. So what first got me into it was as a PhD student, you have to write a dissertation, which better than become a book. And mine was on World War One, a big battle in World War One, but to most Americans, pretty obscure. It had about a million guys die in it, called the Battle of the Third Battle of Ypres. But as time went on, I began to the war I grew up with, even though I was far too young for it, was Vietnam. But nobody taught about it when I went to school. So when I when the writing bug really hit is when I began to deal with Vietnam veterans and knew I wanted to write about them. And that's where that bestseller book came from. It's called The Boys of 67, Charlie Company's War in Vietnam. It traces and a sequel there out there as well called Charlie Company's Journey Home. Those two books trace one combat company that was drafted for service in Vietnam, went to serve combat companies, about 160 guys. Of those 160, 26 were killed and 105 were wounded. It was a tough year for them. And the follow-up book, the Journey Home book, is about how difficult it was on their families. So probably what I'm best known for. And the most recent book that I've done, there's a whole bunch of other books in the middle too that I just won't mention. My most recent book is a very similar book, but on the Mississippi National Guard in 2005, called Dogwood, a National Guard Unit's War in Iraq. Because similarly, like Vietnam veterans were either, in this case for them, mistreated when they came home and then kind of ignored. Overall, the National Guard has been pretty overlooked in its military service. And I kind of wanted to rectify that for my friends and neighbors, because this is about a Mississippi unit. And that one just came out last year.
Dr. Wiest, when you have your, I guess, historian, researcher, kind of professor hat on and looking at certain wars like the Vietnam War, and then you look at the actual people who lived it, getting to meet the veterans, getting to understand their stories, meeting their families, does it change the way that you look at the textbooks, or how are the two, I guess, experiences similar or sort of different for you as someone who loves learning about the wars?
Well, the textbooks are right, but of course they're mile wide and inch deep. They're trying to teach people who don't know too much about the war the basics. And of course, what gets lost in any basics that you deal with are nuance and depth and meaning, which you can only add by going deeper. And I felt those textbooks were ignoring, not because they were being mean, just because that's not what they do. I felt that, you know, to me, wars, if you get stuck on the big decisions, you know, whether a battle's won or lost, what you're missing there is the fact that these are 19-year-old kids that, in the case of Vietnam, maybe just a few days before were, you know, listening to the Beatles and trying to get a date, and suddenly they're off in the Mekong Delta of Vietnam, giving their lives for a war that, in that case, they really didn't know that much about or understand that much about. So that's what fascinated me, was how does violence and the just the sheer terror of war interact with 19-year-old kids who are still trying to construct their full psyche. I didn't want the humanity to be ignored in wars, to make big points about wars.
The Boys of 67, that's the book you're referring to. Is that the book that inspired the National Geographic documentary, Brothers in War?
It sure is. It sure is. That documentary, the company that I work with called named Lou Rita Productions, they like the book. They like the fact that it put a human face on a very difficult time, the Vietnam War, so that they went back and interviewed many of the same veterans that I'd interviewed. Of course, I interviewed them on tape, but they interviewed them on with their full film rig, and turned it into a documentary, which was really that was a lot of fun, and it meant a lot that the stories of these veterans got that out there to even more people. Of course, more people are going to watch a documentary on Nat Geo than read my book. So it was great that these people who had been unnoticed for so long were finally getting their notice.
Is that still on the streaming service? I mean, lots of us have our, you know, Disney apps or the different apps or whatever, National Geographic's on that. Can we still find Brothers in War if we want to go back and watch it, Dr. Wiest? I don't know if I'll read your book, but I might watch the documentary.
You sure can. You can go out there and find it on Nat Geo, and they trot it out like almost every Memorial Day and Veterans Day. You can find it broadcast on many of those days.
After so many decades, I guess, in the field, obviously at least three, maybe four, I don't want to put your age out there, or maybe three in the decade, what keeps you interested in history? I mean, what keeps you coming back year after year, teaching, I guess, maybe the same subjects from a different angle, but what keeps you in the game, should I say?
What keeps me teaching it is just the to be an informed citizen, to be a good voter, to be, you ought to know your past in some way. The fact that, I mean, it's the reason I'm old enough, or I could probably wouldn't have to teach freshman history anymore if I didn't want to. You know, there's 200 kids out there sitting in your class, and you know, it can be a drudgery sometimes. But these are kids who are going to wind up with an education, with a big piece of paper that says, "Hi, I'm educated," called the diploma. And maybe in college they'll take one history course. I'm just arrogant enough where I want to teach that history course because, you know, to me that is so important. It's almost like, you know, educational missionary work to make sure that you get out of a college experience understanding some history. And as far as writing is concerned, there are so many. And of course, I write about soldiers. There are so many brave ones out there that haven't had their story told. It's a matter of luck in some ways that, you know, I was able to tell stories about a few units, but there are so many more. There's so many stories left to write, so many people left to honor. So I don't see any reason to stop anytime soon.
If people want to see, I know we mentioned two of your books, but at you, and there's a lot in the middle. You got me tickled with this academics. You either write or you get out, and you're definitely right about that. So you might as well turn it into a book. Is there somewhere folks can go to learn more about your books or see some of your work or follow what you're doing there at USM, Dr. Wiest?
Sure. The books are all available on Amazon, and I have a little author's page over there. We talked about, I don't know, three or four of the books, but I've written over 20, so you can go find all the ones we didn't talk about. And here at Southern Miss, we are really lucky to have maybe the top military history program in the country. Is a thing called the Dale Center for the Study of War and Society, and I'm lucky enough to be the founding director of that. You can head over to Southern Miss's webpage and check out the Dale Center for the Study of War and Society, and not only see what I'm doing, but see what all my fine colleagues are doing over here. You know, along those lines, we're lucky enough that West Point, you know, the U.S. Military Academy, sends us their students. We educate them with a PhD. We send them back to West Point, and then they go teach military history up there. So West Point thinks we do it right, which we think is a pretty big compliment.
Which I think it is. And, of course, it's there at Southern Miss to the top. Dr. Wiest, again, thank you so much for your time and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
All righty, you guys stick with us. It's Friday. We've got Movies with Tanya coming up next.
From the Seabrook.com.
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
To Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live as always over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app and your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. It's Friday here on Good Things, so we're talking movies with Tanya, and that was the Michael Jackson gun bringing us in there. Thank you, Rhino, which is still doing well. It's breaking all kinds of records. It's doing its thing that it's supposed to be doing.
It did way better than they thought. I mean, they projected it was going to do well. But
I think a lot of I think some of the controversy stirred up beforehand helped to get people there to see it.
I think so too. I think people are curious. I mean, you've got so many fans that are going to go see it just because of the content, but then. Yeah, the controversy, everybody wants to know what everybody else is talking about.
Well, and I think anybody who's lived through it, or at least the last couple of years, everything I've seen on their reviews is great movie, wonderful, kind of like what you said, wonderful scenes like for the music, but it's a watered-down version of probably what we experience through news and headlines in that way. But
yeah.
But it, you know, but people are being entertained and they're ready for the second one.
Yeah. So. One thing I forgot to mention is Mike Myers is in it, and it reminded me of the role he had in Bohemian Rhapsody. He's kind of unrecognizable. So if you're a Mike Myers fan, you might want to check it out.
Oh, kind of see where he's at. Okay, so that's, but if that's out there, if you've already wanted to see it, you've gone to see it and or planning to see it, and this is going to be the perfect weekend to see something, especially since it'll be a little colder and soggy here in the Magnolia State. So what you got for us, Tanya? What can we go see?
Well, this is probably not for everybody, but for a lot of body. but The Devil Wears Prada,
it's
too.
For this body.
Yeah. So I saw this last night, and my husband declined to go with me.
Gotcha.
I don't think he saw the first one, and I kind of wanted him to go so that he could tell me, as someone that had not seen the first one, would you be able to figure out what's going on? But I can tell you, you can. It is its own story, and they do make references to things. I think you probably would enjoy it more if you'd seen the first one, just because there's so many classic moments. But this one picks up in real time, so 20-ish years later, and we've got Anne Hathaway's character that is escaping me, Alex, is now a very successful reporter, which is what she kind of left in the first movie to do. And while she is accepting an award for her writing, she gets a text that her publication is being shut down due to budget cuts. And so the next thing you know, she's getting a job offer to go work for Runway, which is the magazine that Miranda Priestly still runs. And so that's how they are reunited. And I think we've all seen the scene, because it's in the trailer, of when she initially re-meets her and Miranda has no clue who she is. So it's really funny. But you've got Emily Blunt back. She is now like a big marketing person for Prada.
Good, so she got out.
She got out. Tons of cameos. I mean, too many to count. And there's some that are big surprises, so I won't spoil it. But it's like they picked up cameras at real events, like at the Met Gala or things like that, because just everybody in fashion, you know, was on the camera at some point. But anyway, so the challenge is just kind of like the first one. You've got people trying to undermine other people, and the relationship between her and Miranda, between her and all the other people she works back with. Stanley Tucci's back, same character, same sweetness. You can't help but love him. But Meryl Streep received an Oscar nomination for The Devil Wears Prada. Did not win, but rightfully got nominated. She's going to get nominated again. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. She is just unbelievable to watch. And Anne Hathaway is good, too. So that's the only thing that scares me. It's like, I feel like she deserves to be awarded, too. But how are you going to pick between the two? Because, you know, they both are so fantastic.
You know, I didn't realize that it was based off a book, which I wouldn't, because I don't
read.
Oh,
yeah, I didn't either.
But it was the original one. It was a book from an intern, I think, who worked at, is it not Vanity Fair? Whatever the real magazine is that it's after, and then the lady with the glasses that it's after. See, I'm so cultured. I know exactly who I'm talking about. I can see the names.
Oh, Anna Wintour.
Yes. Vogue.
Vogue.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't realize all that from the first one. But that was 20 years ago.
I mean,
I would have been, I don't even want to talk about how old I'd been 20 years ago.
I know. Well, the cool thing about this movie is it's not like a rom-com, you know? It's like, so it, to me, it's, there aren't a whole lot of movies in this genre where you're just there watching, you know, people live their lives in a fun way.
Should it have been straight to stream?
Oh, no.
No.
Okay. This is definitely worthy of the theater.
Good
for
tip.
Sure. We got a few additions to the cast. Justin Theroux is in it. Kenneth Branagh plays Miranda's new husband. And, you know, in the first movie, we see her going through a divorce and, you know, just the sadness that brings into her life. And this is her new husband, and she's so happily married. So that's kind of fun to watch. I mean, it's really cool. They did a really good job with, you know, taking you, I mean, bringing you to the current day on these, with these characters, and seeing how they've transformed, you know, some for good, some for worse. Mm-hmm. But One of the funny things is they've put, you know, Miranda was so bad in the first one, the way she treated people. And so now she has got a person that is with her 24/7 that has to tell her, no, you can't say that. And it's really funny. It's a funny little addition to the story.
Well, I think if you're a fan of it, you've already planned on going, which I hope to get to see that one. That's on my list of things to see.
Yeah.
What else may be out there if that's not your cup of tea?
Well, we still have Michael, of course. So if you haven't seen that, this would be a great weekend to catch up on that. Super Mario. And then Project Hail Mary is still out there. And it's raking in. It's made $305 million, which is
crazy.
So, yeah, there's just tons. Hoppers is still out there doing well, and it's about to start streaming. So, you know, if you want to see it on the big screen, now's your chance.
Yeah, and support a local MSU scientist.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. Well, let me say that. I mean, it was her work. I don't know if going to see the movie supports her, but I'm sure she would love for it to. But
Yeah.
I don't think she's getting residuals from that. But yeah. But if you go or if you stream it, at least pay knowledge that the, you know, the beaver sounds and the movements and all that came from her guidance.
I know. That's so cool. But yeah, so if you're like streaming, yesterday the Critics' Choice Association released their nominees for the Real TV Awards. I'm not part of this group because I'm film, not TV, but my people got it right. They have some great nominations. Traitors leads, with I forgot how many, but tons of nominations, and Dancing with the Stars is right behind it. So, you know, that's something they'll be, it's not an actual ceremony. It'll be just announced in a press release on June 3rd, so a little over a month away. So that'll be something fun to watch.
I can't believe Dancing with the Stars is still a...
I know, and it just keeps getting better and better, you know. It's like they're really good at getting the talent.
That wants to do it.
Yeah.
I interrupted you. Were you saying something else?
Oh, no, that was it.
Oh, well, in terms of streaming, I did watch this past weekend. We talked about it, Apex with, how do you say your name?
Charlize.
They're on. It's a little more intense than what I was ready for.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I will not watch it again. But it is a thriller, and it's got twists and turns. Have you seen it? Have you gotten a chance to see it?
I've started it. I've not finished it. But so far, I cannot believe how good of a killer Taron Egerton is. I mean, he is so scary to me.
Yes. And it's, I think it's the creep factor's real.
Yeah. Like it's, yeah.
You are just freaked out, like kind of creeped out the whole movie. And I never want to go into the woods alone.
Exactly. Which I don't think I would have anyway, but this definitely seals it.
No. And I didn't realize, you know, some national parks could be so big. And I don't know how much of some of that is like real, but if you like intense thrillers or whatever, and they do mention, like on it, it says nudity or whatever. It's not what you think. Like I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to fuss. And it's brief. It's unfortunate, but it's brief, and it's not what you like sort of think. So for the most part, the language was good. The whatever, it was just very intense.
Yes,
the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Even like the start with her husband was just intense the entire time. So I was like, man, I walked right into this one. That's, I mean, usually not, you want to relax on a Saturday night. I was not relaxed.
I know. That's not the, you know, what you want to watch right before you go to bed.
No, but then I was committed. I needed to know how it ended. So I'm glad I watched it. I would recommend it if you like thrillers, but I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah.
At least not that one.
Yeah.
All right, Tanya, I appreciate your time. You guys stick with us. We got a few more good things for you coming up next.
This is Bob, just walked.
Upbeat, positive, and stories that make you smile. This is Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget, we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app and your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us, too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. You can also find us on Roku, Amazon Fire TV devices, even YouTube. If you've got C Spire TV, don't forget, we are on Channel 70, right next to the Weather Channel. You can go to supertalk.fm/connect to find out more. Next week, you got Super Talk Mississippi hitting the road. You can join us live next Thursday from the Pearl River Resort in Philadelphia from 10 to 6 p.m., 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It is a full day of coverage as we highlight the incredible partnership between the Mississippi Farm Bureau and the Mississippi Food Network through their Farmers Feeding the Hungry initiative. That's a good thing. You're going to have Middays with Gerard Gibbert, and then you're also going to have the Boys with Sports Talk Mississippi. They will be broadcasting from the heart of Philadelphia. That is coming up next Thursday, May the 7th. So just keep listening to Super Talk Mississippi for a day of inspiration, information, and celebration with the home team at Mississippi Farm Bureau. You can also still get a chance to win tickets to see two music giants who are coming to Mississippi. They're coming to Vault Hemingway Stadium, to be exact. That's on June 5th. Y'all, that is almost a month away. That's coming fast. And joining them in Oxford will be country music singer Carter Faith. You can go to supertalk.fm to find a registration location near you. This giveaway is brought to you by the Legacy GMC in Laurel. If you've been over to supertalk.fm today and hit my favorite button, which is the lifestyle button, you may see another giveaway where you can get your odds, or crack the odds, should I say, at a chance of winning free eggs for a year. What would you make if you got free eggs for a year? Almost the better question would be, what couldn't you make? Because you could literally put eggs into everything from an omelet to even, you know, a pound cake and kind of everything in between. It's usually one of those pantry staples. So the Mississippi Department of Agriculture and Commerce announced Friday that the state's Egg Marketing Board, in partnership with Ridgeland-based Calmain Foods, they're hosting eggs for a year giveaway. One winner will receive a year's supply of eggs through redeemable coupons. I always wondered how that would be, Rhino, because they couldn't just bring you, you know, a pallet of eggs. You know, they do last for a while, but they're not going to last for that long. But this giveaway is being conducted in honor of May being recognized as National Egg Month. Anyone can enter this over easy contest. Love that writing. By signing up in person at the Genuine Mississippi store inside the Mississippi Farmers Market in Jackson. Those interested can also sign up during normal operating hours at the store. That's Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 2. And then you got your Saturday from 8 to 1. If you're wondering when the winner will be announced, it will be announced at the new Genuine Mississippi Farmers Market at the Rankin County Co-op, coming up, Brandon, on May 16th, and we'll receive 24 one-dozen Eggland's Best coupons redeemable at participating retailers that sell the product. So I was wondering, in terms of coupons, how many eggs they think a household would go through in a year. So that would be, well, you'd get what, two dozen a month for a year. And I was trying to think. I mean, and depending on your family, A, how many's in your family, B, how much your family likes eggs, how much you cook with eggs on top of cooking eggs would depend on how many eggs you bought. But I would say 24 eggs a month is a fair number.
You're a big egg fanatic.
Unless you're a big, you know, egg eater, or it's Easter. I mean, you know, then you go through a little bit more than that. And regardless, if you're a 4 dozen egg eater person, family, household, getting half that, you know, covered would be nice as well. That's that one thing that I know you've stood in the grocery store in the egg aisle, and you know, like, you need an egg for a recipe or something, and you're asking yourself, do we have eggs at home? I think we have eggs at home. Do we have eggs at home? I can't remember if we have eggs at home. And then you either buy an extra dozen, and then you wind up with an extra dozen of eggs at home, or you're like, no, I got eggs. And then you get home, and it's like, one egg and you need two. I don't know. It's always, it's never like the right amount in that way. So here's your chance to have that covered. You can head on over to supertalk.fm/lifestyle to find out more about that. All right, stick with us. You got the boys up next with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I'll meet you back here Monday at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
No, no, no. Don't pass me by. See, I can see good things for you and I. If good things for you and I. If good things for you and I. If good things for you.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.